Hey, everybody. Welcome into Redacted on this Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we try to navigate this crazy clown world together. We don't have all the answers, but we are seeking the truth. We got a lot of stories we're going to cover tonight. We're going to look at this AstraZeneca bombshell because overnight, AstraZeneca decided to pull its COVID vaccine. Wait until you hear their justification for pulling it and the patting on the back that they're doing today. We're going to dive deep into this because how many lawsuits are we about to see? What does this mean for Pfizer and Moderna? Because are they next? Are they next to pull their COVID vaccines? We're going to dive deep. We have a special guest, an epidemiologist from the McCullough Foundation, Peter McCullough's foundation. Nick Holschul is going to be on the show to talk about that with us tonight.
Plus, Zelensky says that Ukrainians are God's chosen people. And that God, the Christian God specifically, is the one he was talking about this week, is on their side of the war. You'd think it'd be going better if that was the case, but we're going to remind ourselves how Ukraine treats Christians while we look at that hypocritical message.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Trying to court Christians right now while you're also banning churches. That's interesting. We're also going to talk about the Boy Scouts of America and sordid history, but also major changes coming to the Boy Scouts. Get ready to drop the name Boy and Scouts from their title, Boy Scouts of America going woke. We'll look at that.
Plus the Stormy Daniels trial. Yes, we are going to do it. We're going to go there. We're going to have Lionel from Lionel Nation on his YouTube channel because that story is wild. It's a wild story. So all of that's going to start right now.
It is.
First, we want to tell you about our newsletter, right?
Yeah, we want to tell you about our newsletter, which you can check out. Go to redacted.inc. That's the place to go. And you want to sign up for free. And you get our daily newsletter delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. It's, you know, the kids, you'll hear kids like on the street talking about it because they'll say, hey, I don't know if you know, are you cool? You're cool if you sign up for the Redacted newsletter. And all the kids are talking about it, Philip. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but you just go to the mall.
Oh, yeah,
you
definitely, definitely.
You go to the food court, and all
I
you
get
hear
text
them talking
messages
about
from my daughter's friends.
Exactly. And what is the common denominator? They're always asking about the Redacted newsletter. It is the world's best newsletter. We don't mean to pat ourselves on the back, but we're going to. We try to cover like four or five of the big stories of the morning. We try to cover it in a way that the mainstream media will not. We cut through the propaganda. We link you to actual peer-reviewed studies and articles, all of that information. Anyway, it's totally free. Go to redacted.inc, put in your email address, and then you will receive the welcome email. You just have to confirm that, and you'll receive the newsletter tomorrow morning over your cup of coffee. So redacted.inc. Well, a bombshell development now for all those people that called the COVID vaccines safe and effective. AstraZeneca has just announced the worldwide withdrawal of its Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. They say it's because of a totally rare but serious side effect. Former British Prime Minister, of course, once called the drug a triumph for British science, and he said it saved 6 million lives. Those are his words. Someone who knows all about the rare side effects is epidemiologist Nick Holschul from the Peter McCullough Foundation. And we invited this esteemed individual on our show, Nick Holschul. Great to have you on the show to dive deep into the side effects and everything else related to AstraZeneca. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So let's get into why did AstraZeneca actually pull this vaccine? I seem to remember, Nick, I mean, members of parliament, esteemed doctors, cardiologists, world-renowned doctors, telling us of the problems with this drug a long time ago. Did they just learn now about the rare side effects and that's why they decided to pull this, or was something else at play?
So the primary reason that AstraZeneca gave for this recent global withdrawal was actually for commercial reasons. They said that because nobody wants the vaccine, they're just going to pull it off the market or they're going to lose a bunch of money. Now, back in 2021, there was a large number of side effects identified. But first, we'll go into just a brief introduction on what this vaccine is. So what the AstraZeneca, it goes under the brand names Covishield in India, AZD1222. It's actually a modified chimpanzee DNA adenovirus that encodes for the highly toxic spike protein. So this vaccine was authorized for emergency use in 2022. or sorry, December of 2020. So that was the first country that saw this vaccine. It's cheaper than Moderna and Pfizer mRNA vaccines, easier storage requirements. So that's why it's actually been used in India. It's been used in some countries in Africa. It's been used in Asia, mainly in low-income countries, just because of those reasons I mentioned, easier access to them. And so it was never approved in the United States because we were kind of concerned about the trial data. And we already had two other vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna, so AstraZeneca had a really hard time getting into the United States. So back in 2021, there was a large amount of side effects that were uncovered from these vaccines. And the primary one that was admitted in court recently is vaccine-induced immune thrombotic thrombocytopenia. So what this syndrome is that your body develops blood clots everywhere. It's accompanied by low platelet counts. There was 445 confirmed cases of this in the United Kingdom, and 81 of them were fatal.
Wow.
So, and many papers have showed a causal link between the AstraZeneca vaccines and fatal thrombocytopenia, including our paper, A Systematic Review of Autopsy Findings and Deaths After COVID Vaccination. We collated a few of those cases and proved they were due to the vaccine. But that's just the primary side effect that was identified in 2021. And it actually should have prompted market withdrawal, 3 years ago. Not 3 years later now, where many people have already died from it. It would be appropriate if AstraZeneca apologized for any damages caused and provided compensation for all the individuals that were harmed. Because, even one death is too many deaths. So, AstraZeneca has a ways to go. Moderna and Pfizer, they're behind AstraZeneca. They still have their mRNA vaccines on the market in the United States for ages 6 months and older. So hopefully Moderna and Pfizer follow in the footsteps of AstraZeneca
and pull these things off the shelf. I know your colleague, Dr. Peter McCullough, has been pushing for this, of course, to have these things removed. What did we see in the trial data? Well, because as I said in my intro here, former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson called this a triumph for British science and that this saved 6 million lives. So I want you to unpack that in a second. I mean, what is he basing that on? That we saved 6 million lives from AstraZeneca.
So they base these claims off of studies that come out that kind of just hypothesize. They come up with equations. They see and try and say how many lives they saved. It's really mostly nonsense because it's highly difficult to predict that number accurately, but. They may, if they did save some lives, they also took some lives. And they took some lives through some side effects that were uncovered in the trial data. And these side effects include, like I mentioned earlier, the vaccine-induced immune thrombotic thrombocytopenia that killed 81 people in the UK, confirmed. There's probably many more. Those were just the cases that were reported. There's also cerebral venous sinus thrombosis. This is a blood clot that occurs in the brain, the brain's venous sinuses, and it actually prevents blood from draining out, leading to hemorrhaging, brain bleeding. It also is linked with just general thrombosis, just blood clots over the body. Again, this is likely due to the spike protein that's produced by the chimpanzee DNA viral vector goes in your cells and codes for the spike protein. Your body attacks those cells because it detects a foreign antigen, and this spike protein has been shown to coagulate blood, makes blood resistant to cleavage of these by your own body. So that's why you see these fibrogen and resistant blood clots. And we also, these vaccines have been linked with Guillain-Barré syndrome, as well as capillary leak syndrome, which is a rare and serious condition that causes fluid to leak from tiny blood vessels, leading to swelling and low blood pressure. So overall, the safety profile is not great. They should have been pulled off the market 3 years ago.
So I want to go back to the trial data real quick, which is, I can't believe, but in the United States, we put our foot down. Like, we've allowed Pfizer and Moderna to move forward. And of course, still to this day, still moving forward with emergency use authorization for that. And normally, these trials, you would take, what, like 10 years to bring a proper like vaccine to market. These things were obviously rushed to market. We know from the trial data in those other vaccines, they hardly had, there were no human trials, right? Or very little as it related to boosters and others. They were testing it on like 11 mice. I think that was about it. So what did we see in the trial data for AstraZeneca that was like an alarm bell in the United States, but not in Britain?
Well, the main alarm bell for the United States, the primary reason they say their vaccine wasn't in the United States is because Moderna and Pfizer existed, there's probably conflicts of interest, pharmaceutical capture. They didn't allow AstraZeneca to come here. Now, so that was really their primary reason. We didn't say we didn't take in these vaccines because of vaccine-induced immune thrombotic thrombocytopenia. And again, that's the syndrome that scared all the European countries after the vaccine rollout. It caused issues there back in 2021. But if they were likely to admit that's why it wasn't distributed here, that would be the reason, that syndrome with the abbreviation VITT.
Do you think, and we're just getting the tip of the iceberg here. Now, they claim we're pulling these off the market because commercially we can't sell them anymore. People just don't want to buy them anymore. They don't want to get these shots. So you know what? It's probably a good time. This all coincides, of course, with the court, with what we learned because of being sued as a result of this. So we wouldn't have even learned this information. They were not forthcoming with this information about these side effects. So they kept all of this hidden from us, didn't they?
Yeah, they kept everything hidden. All of these companies that have distributed COVID-19 vaccines have kept most of the side effects hidden. I mean, in the VAERS system, the CDC VAERS system, there's over 30,000 deaths that have been linked to these vaccines. So, you know, we don't hear that in the mainstream news. We don't hear that by the vaccine manufacturers that their products might have killed tens of thousands of people. They don't want people to know about these syndromes. They just kind of want to get it through emergency approval with no proper studies, no proper double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled trials, just lab rat studies. And they just hope that people take them. And, you know, it's very dangerous that that's happening. And it's very unfortunate, but you know, at least we're moving in a step in the right direction. At least AstraZeneca is pulling them off the market. Now we have to be on the lookout for, they're called replicon vaccines. So they're actually up next are self-amplifying messenger RNA vaccines. So what these do, they go in your body and the mRNA gets in your cell and it regenerates itself over and over and over again.
Oh,
so
great.
That's what's up next. And hopefully, you know, preliminary studies show that the side effect profile of these upcoming replicon vaccines is pretty bad. About 95% experience adverse events. And it's already been approved in Japan, one of them.
95%.
Now, a lot of them are just local reactions, but 60% of them were systemic reactions. So fever and severe events.
My God, Doc. 95% and then, 60 systemic events. This is unbelievable. I hope people wake up. I hope people hear this. Of course, this information has been suppressed and blocked and banned all across social media. In the United States, of course, there was the collusion with the Biden administration. We know that from the White House. We know that from internal documents, keeping this information suppressed across social media. Your colleague, Dr. Peter McCullough, of course. We all know about the censorship industrial complex. Hopefully, people ask some serious questions about these things moving forward. I guess, Nick, we're going to see, well, this is just the tip of the iceberg for lawsuits, do you think?
Oh, yeah, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Once it becomes widely known that these vaccines cause death via various syndromes, including myocarditis, the CDC still doesn't admit that myocarditis is fatal. And our paper proved that in ESC heart failure, the European Society of Cardiology journal. Our paper proved that myocarditis is fatal in 21 cases, and the CDC still doesn't acknowledge. They still call myocarditis mild and transient, which is just completely false. So they're still covering stuff up. So I would be on the lookout for major lawsuits. I think that these companies will most likely be in trouble in the near future, but only time will tell.
Nick Holscher from the Peter McCullough Foundation. Great work, as always, and an epidemiologist who's been tracking this very, very closely. Nick, great to have you here on the show. Thanks so much for your insights and your expertise.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. And I just want to read a statement, by the way, from AstraZeneca that they published this afternoon. AstraZeneca says, "We are incredibly proud of the vax, our vaccine that played in ending the global pandemic, played a role in ending the global pandemic. According to independent estimates," AstraZeneca says, "over 6.5 million lives were saved in the first year of use alone."
Wait, what are they citing? According to what? Independent estimates?
Independent estimates.
Okay, we went over that on Monday.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Independent estimates.
Yeah.
That 6.5 million lives were saved in the first year of use alone, and over 3 billion doses were supplied globally. "Our efforts have been recognized by governments around the world and are widely regarded as being critical components of ending the global pandemic." Yeah, they have been recognized globally and around the world. In fact, in the United States, we wouldn't even allow it to be rolled out in the United States. Okay. So I'd love that commercially, this is the reason why they pulled the vaccine, not because of any adverse events.
Okay, not to get bogged down in the data, but the piece that we did on Monday about how Pfizer's CEO, this Monday of this week, how Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla said that we saved the world with the COVID vaccine, so we're on to cancer. There has never been a study that has, now the estimates that they're talking about, we estimated that deaths would be at this rate, but since we never got there, we attribute the vaccine. That's the only thing that they've got to say that the vaccine worked, is because we didn't get to this estimated number. Now, that doesn't account for a previous infection. It doesn't account for the fact that each iteration of COVID was less severe and more contagious. And there has never been a study that has been able to differentiate which vaccine did what. So that's a lie. What you just read, that statement was a lie. I can't let that go.
That's AstraZeneca's official statement about why they pulled the vaccine.
Junk science.
Exactly. Can we also just
independent estimates?
Right.
You know, like the weakest form of evidence you could possibly come up with. It's an independent estimate, you know?
We are incredibly proud of the role the vaccine played in ending the global pandemic. According to random guy on Subway, over 6.5 million lives were saved in the first year.
Somebody said it somewhere. I'll put it in a press release.
Some guy at a bodega. Picking his dandruff.
Okay.
Also, can we just go back to what he said about the replicant vaccines?
Take us over that again?
Well, I mean,
I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Those are the next round rolling out, and that with 95% adverse events. Now, he said they were sometimes locally, you know, it just would cause some numbness. Maybe there would be some paralysis, whatever, right? But it's 95% problems with this vaccine. 60% systemic. How did that stick out to you, Philip?
Yeah. So I mean, what he was saying, and I don't know if I missed him how he said it, but so the current mRNA can't enter the cell, so it can't replicate itself. It just goes to a ribosome, makes proteins. That's how it works. So it runs its course. However much mRNA is there, that's how much it makes. But if it can get into the cell, like through tRNA, or if they find a way to actually get the mRNA into the cell, and it actually ends up in the genetic code, it would just repeat itself. So then you would end up, right, like once it's in a cell, then it can go through DNA replication and keep making that mRNA over and over and over and over.
Which is what you want.
That's what it sounded like he was saying.
Which is what you want. Hold on. Which is what you want with cells, to replicate over and over and over again, aka turbo cancer.
He's saying we need to watch out for that. Not that, like, in next iterations of vaccines, or is that happening?
Well, because he was saying that was the next iteration of vaccines, but that wouldn't make the cell replicate. That would just make the mRNA, which codes for proteins, that would just keep pumping out. So your body would keep making the protein that it's.
The spike protein.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. It would
keep replicating the spike protein over and over and over again. Which, of course, Dr. Peter McCullough has documented at length the problems with the spike protein and what this, you know, the overall problems with all of this. So anyway, let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. Someone in the chat said, my mouse was starting to encroach on Natalie's crack on the side of the table.
Was it?
It was starting to make it.
Well, see, the thing is, it's not his mouse. He thinks he's totally in control of the command center.
Yeah.
And so it very well could be my mouse. And so sometimes he'll pause a comment here and then I can't see the chat because Clayton's decided to pause it. And it makes me so mad. And you can see me then go like, don't pause the chat.
Well, because when you guys are chatting here on our YouTube chat or on Rumble, and I like want to pause the chat so I can read it and remember it and highlight it, and I try to click on it so I can just pause it for a second. So when we have a break, I'll mention something that someone said.
But then I miss what other people say. So if I see a comment, I just write it in my notes and then call it out later. But no, Clayton is a control freak. It's like remote control fighting here.
Oh, yeah. You never let a woman hold a remote control.
What the hell?
Are you crazy?
So anyway, it's not Clayton's remote. Tomorrow you're going to come here and see nail polish all over it.
It's like letting you drive. That'd be a mistake.
Shut up, Clayton.
All right. Coming up here on the show, we're going to talk about Ukrainians because apparently they are God's chosen people, according to Vladimir Zelensky. He just released a statement about that. I guess he's trying to curry favor with Christians now that they've been they're under attack in Ukraine. They've been banished.
He's got his own brand of Christianity that he likes, and he's pretending that he didn't ban a brand of Christianity that he doesn't like.
We're also going to talk about the Boy Scouts going woke, and this is a huge change to an organization that is 114 years old. I was a Boy Scout. I was a Weebolo. I was a Cub Scout. Went all the way up through Boy Scouts, and I'm, you know, sort of devastated about exactly what has happened to this organization. So we'll get there in a second, but first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at Hillsdale College, because if you're like me, a lot of times you see the stories that you read in the news or you cover here on Redacted, and you think, I wish I had more historical context about this. I wish I had a stronger understanding about that. Well, you know, you don't have to enroll at an expensive university to get a good education. You can study history, economics, the great works of literature on your own time. That's why we're so excited to tell you about Hillsdale College, because they offer more than 40 free online courses in the most important and enduring subjects, so you can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the stories in the Book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, rise and fall of the Roman Republic, or the history of the ancient Christian church. All of this is available to you for free. We want to recommend that you look into American citizenship and its decline. Yes, you can learn about it with Victor Davis Hanson. Feels like you are living it, so you might as well have some academic context for it. This is an eight lecture course, and he explores the history of citizenship in the West and the threats that it faces today. And it's a self-paced course, so start whenever you want, study at your own pace. And again, you can start it for free. So right now, go to hillsdale.edu/redacted to start. Free and easy, hillsdale.edu/redacted. I'll say it one more time correctly. hillsdale.edu/redacted. Well, Ukrainian President Zelensky wants to win back Christians at the very moment he's trying to shut down their churches. In an Easter address for Orthodox Christians, Zelensky said that Ukrainians are God's chosen people and that God is an ally in their conflict with Russia. That's funny, right? Because the war is going so poorly. You wouldn't think God would want credit for the Ukrainian showing in this war.
The 600. So he's trying to, wait a minute. He's saying he's trying to absolve himself of the deaths of 600,000 Ukrainians and over a million injured Ukrainians by saying that this, we are God's chosen people. This is God's plan. It's out of my hands. It's out of my hands. I've just got a condo in Dubai that I just bought. I'm going to be moving there soon if I'm not shot soon. So it's out of my hands. It's in God's hands here.
Right. So the imagery we're about to show you in this video, he shows the crucifixion and bloody images of Christ, and he is comparing dead Ukrainian soldiers' sacrifice to that of the Messiah, because he's saying this is sort of necessary suffering for all. I don't agree with that at all. I think he's used these people to suffer for his celebrity. I don't think he actually cares about those people suffering. Each death in Ukraine is a death too many. But again, this is your reminder, your regular reminder, that Ukraine is not a democracy or a moral government worth fighting for. So Sunday was Easter for Orthodox Christians, and Zelensky's video address was from Kiev's St. Sophia Cathedral. And he said a lot of nonsense for someone whose government has tried to shut down the country's largest Christian church. So what we're talking about here is the UOC, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. So that's weird, right? You shut down Christian churches, and then you come in front of one and say, I love Christian people. Here's my message of peace. Now, here's a short list of some of the things he's done to the UOC. The SBU has opened dozens of criminal cases against UOC priests, has sanctioned clerics, has stripped at least 19 bishops of their Ukrainian citizenship. Bishops. Nope, you don't get to take in your passport. Don't like what you're doing. Told you that you need to shut down.
And the SBU, by the way, is the security service of Ukraine, which is has arrested, tortured, and killed American journalists like Gonzalo Lira and other journalists. And, of course, random Ukrainians. And this is what they do on a regular basis.
Yes, but specifically, why are they going after the church? Well, the church, they say, has connection to Russian Orthodox Church, even though this church says that they broke ties with Russia since the special military operation began in 2022. But that was not enough for Zelensky, because he still says they are an agent of Moscow. So he has his own brand of Orthodox Christianity that he condones. He started the OCU. It's the Orthodox Church of Ukraine. So this old school Orthodox, you guys are out. You guys are being persecuted. But you can join the new brand if you want. This is Ukrainian government sanctioned church. Talk about separation of church and state. Also, the church has seized property, and monks were evicted from their homes. An ancient monastery had eviction of all of the monks who lived there. So because he shut down the churches he doesn't like and set up his own, he feels very comfortable addressing Christians. He says that God is protecting and directing their army, and that they basically must be prepared to lay down their lives as saints in the vein of Jesus Christ. Watch.
Саме так ми бачимо заступництво небесних сил, втілене у силах безпеки і оборони України. Кожного українця і кожної українки, які віддають себе священній справі, оборона рідної землі від темряви і зла. На цих іконах імена героїв, які віддали життя, аби нас захистити, які показали, українці стають на коліна лише у молитві. І нікого...
Okay, so... He then goes on to lay out some hypocrisy about loving your neighbor. Is this how you love your neighbor, I wonder? You throw them into a van to die for a war they don't believe in? Look how much they love their neighbors.
When they're getting off work.
They kidnap them.
Here's a Ukrainian who is providing for his family after work, and then he gets thrown into the conscription van, the people snatcher van, to go to be a cannon fodder on the front lines.
What do you think of that love?
I'm going to say no. That's not how you treat your neighbor.
No.
That's not love?
I do not treat my neighbors that way. No,
you don't kidnap them and throw them in vans?
Throw them into vans. Throw them in the front lines.
Yeah, is this the Christian behavior that he's saying is loving his neighbor? I'm so curious, right? And that person, if in fact, God forbid, anything happens to him, but if he dies, Zelensky's saying, well, you know, he's basically a saint like Christ, and he wanted to lay down his life for others the way Christ did. Doesn't look like that to me. You're putting words in this guy's mouth and saying, and then basically reclaiming his death for your own. Every person who was thrown into the front lines like this. Zelensky says that God sees that Russia is taking their land and that God has a Ukrainian flag in their social media profile too, basically.
Світ, що постійно набивався нам у брати, для нас далекий на віки. Він порушив всі заповіді, зажадав наш дім, прийшов нас вбивати. Світ бачить це, Бог знає це. І ми віримо у Бога на плечі шеврон з українським прапором. Тож, з таким союзником життя точно переможе смерть. Долаючи спільний шлях, відчуваючи спільний біль, всіх нас об'єднує сьогодні одна.
Don't you love when people claim to be God's chosen people? There's a lot of that going
over
around.
Others.
There's a lot of that going around these days.
It's nice though that for like, you know, millennia we've wondered which of the Christian sects and like different Christian religion, or what's the word I'm looking for? Just, you know, like versions of Christianity was the correct one. Yeah, and it turns out it was the brand new
the
Orthodox Ukrainian church.
It's the one that he just created. I mean, it's usually how it works, right? I mean,
thank goodness they finally showed up.
That's what happens when a cult leader.
Yeah, you know, I mean, all like, those deaths during the Crusades, and we finally got the one, right?
Yeah, here we go. Thanks, Zelensky. That is pretty good, yeah.
He's odious. But will God protect Zelensky from the CIA when he's used up his usefulness as a war stooge for the West? Because who do you think is behind this assassination attempt on his life this week? Was it God's will that it failed? Now, the SBU said that they caught two officers of the State Security Administration staking out Zelensky's house with the aim to hit it with missile strikes and a kamikaze drone attack. The SBU says they were trying to carry this out as a gift to Putin before his inauguration on Tuesday. Now, last month, the service also claimed that someone in Poland was trying to assassinate Zelensky, but former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev says, Russia didn't do this, and you know who did. Look at this snarky remark from Dmitry Medvedev. Says, an attempt on the life of the chief Banderite, which is, or would you say Banderite?
Banderite.
Yeah. Zelensky in Poland. That is truly serious. It may be the first piece of evidence that people in the West have made a decision to liquidate him. Be afraid, clown.
So basically, yeah, Russia's saying, first of all, yeah, we're not going to assassinate him. That's not part of our plan to assassinate a foreign leader like that. We're not going to do that. Who just assassinated Navalny in prison? What Western organization with three letters has now found that you have run out your usefulness and has a history, a long history of trying to assassinate and carrying out assassinations on foreign leaders when you've used up your usefulness? What other three-letter agency also has multiple offices in Ukraine and orchestrated the Maidan coup and was intimately involved in the Western-backed government that, of course, led to the downfall of Ukraine?
Yeah.
I don't know. Any ideas?
No, we do not wish Zelensky any harm. We wish him out of power as fast as possible so that a serious person can come to peace negotiations and end the war right now. But I do hope that God or any other higher power sees to that soon. End the power and the reign of Zelensky. Yes. I think that if this were in the hands of God right now, it definitely would not be to continue the war on behalf of Ukraine. I don't speak for God. I don't even pretend.
No, it's in God's hands. But I am. I believe he's absolutely a war criminal, 100%, and therefore should be tried in front of the International Criminal Court. He should be brought to The Hague and put up for war crimes tribunal.
Yeah.
And I hope that would happen. And we would, you know, how is that going to play out?
Like, I'm pretty sure the higher power, whatever you call it, doesn't want what Zelensky wants.
By the way, side note, listening to his voice, Philip, can you play one of his little just for a few seconds again? Just like, can you imagine like listening to an audio, like him reading an audio book? Like, actually, now that he's created a new denomination of Christianity, maybe he'll have his own, he'll read like an audiobook version of his own, like his own version of the Bible as well. Like you would sit there and listen with your headphones, like listen to Father Zelensky. Listen.
Світ, що постійно набивався нам у брати, для нас далекий на віки. Він порушив всі заповіді.
Actually, this reminds me a lot of an airplane video when you get on the airplane and they're like, please fasten your seatbelts. And then you see someone like running through the surf. That's what this
it does. It looks like
an airplane security video.
I guess in Ukraine, as God's chosen people, the Ukrainian airlines, that'll be the new airline. To buckle your seatbelt. Zelensky has a message for you.
Right. All right. That's enough of that. And yeah, he's a clown.
We've got more news to get to on your Wednesday. We're going to talk about the Boy Scouts. This is an unbelievable story. We're going to provide some context on the history of the Boy Scouts here and why they're gone woke and maybe should be ended completely. I'm going to make a case for that in a second. We're also going to talk about Stormy Daniels and the trial, of course, the Trump trial. There's like parallel Trump trials going on right now. On the one hand, you have the documents, which now look completely forged by the FBI. And now on the Jack Smith side of that, the raid of his Mar-a-Lago home. So will we see that now end as well? And then maybe will we see a mistrial now with Stormy Daniels and what
she
said?
Plus the Georgia case now, the court is going to reconsider whether Fannie Willis should be removed from that case. So all of that, it's just like, but we're going to specifically focus on was the Stormy Daniels testimony proof positive that this is a political trial? This one specifically. Spoiler alert, yes, but we're going to get into the nitty-gritty details, and it's icky, and you might want to, you know, do a little stretch, but we're going to do it because this is a former president, possibly future president. Also, if you can now allow inadmissible evidence, well, what do the rest of us, can that happen to us? For instance, like you get sued for, you know, violating your neighbor's property and they're like, yes, but you also had a speeding ticket in 2020, right? This is, these are questions worth asking.
Great. All right. But first, we want to tell you about our friends at One Country, because One Country is giving away a home. You guys can get a home. You can enter right. This is unbelievable. A new Ozark cabin. Okay. This thing is beautiful. One lucky winner and their crew will unpack a new life in a beautiful $1.5 million, three-bedroom, two-bathroom cabin. Take advantage of amazing amenities in the Ozarks, including a stone fireplace, the open floor plan. You know what? I'm not going to even tell you about it. I want our friends over at One Country, Patrick and Chase, to tell you about it. This is amazing. Watch.
You're probably wondering who we are. I'm Patrick, and that's Chase, and this is our next giveaway.
We're giving away this three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath in the heart of the Ozark National Forest. You can win this cabin or $1 million cash.
Go to onecountry.com today. Sign up.
Today, sign up.
Or sign up tomorrow.
Sign up today. Or tomorrow. No, you want to sign up right now.
Sign up right now, and you're going to get 300 bonus entries, 300 additional chances right now just for watching our show. Might as well go try it, right? I mean, why not? Win a home? It's unbelievable. So go to onecountry.com/redacted to get 300 bonus entries right now. Become a One Country member and get automatically entered into all active giveaways every month. So join the digital destination for country and Southern lifestyle fans. So thanks to One Country for supporting Redacted and supporting what we believe in and do here on this show. So thanks, Patrick and Chase. We appreciate it. All right. I'm getting my notes here. How's everyone doing tonight? Let us know in the comments where you're joining us from. Mr. Dynamo says, that's my house. Mr. Dynamo, sorry, we forgot to tell you. We're just selling your house, Mr. Dynamo. And Bigfoot included. Jan says, Bigfoot included. That would be amazing. Beautiful. Do you ever watch the Ozark show? So good, by the way.
Mm-mm.
It's well, you've seen it. You've seen me watching it. You're like, I can't. It's a little too violent. I can't watch it. All right. Well, I never thought I'd say this, but the Boy Scouts of America needs to close its doors for good. You are finished. This is beyond going woke. Your time has come and gone, and there is really no saving you at this point. In addition to all of its past problems, which we'll get to in a minute, the Boy Scouts of America now joins the ranks of Bud Light, Xbox, dropping the boy from their title in Boy Scouts in favor of making sure they welcome transgender kids, diversity, inclusivity. Here's the CEO of Boy Scouts of America, Roger Krone. Can't show you this soundbite from the Associated Press. They'll give us a copyright. That's what the AP loves to do. But he gave it a little sit-down interview with the Associated Press. If you want to seek it out, you can. But I'll paraphrase what he said. He says they're now changing the name to Scouting America. He says membership is at historic lows, so they need to be more inclusive. They just basically, it's like the military, right? We just need to let anyone in right now. He says with this name change, transgender kids can express, you know, who they are. Let them be their authentic self. So trans boys can go on a camping trip with boys, sleep in the same tents, share the same bathrooms, I suppose, at campsites. This seems like a really smart idea for a company, by the way, that's still battling a massive sexual abuse scandal that still has not gone away and has only still fractionally gone away, which had claimed at least 82,000 claimants as part of the sexual abuse claims. And by the way, experts say that 82,000 number is just a fraction of the people that suffered sexual abuse at the hands of scout leaders. So you want to add more perversion to the scouts? I mean, that's exactly what would happen here, wouldn't it?
Yeah, let's send your girls there too.
Yes, and that's what they've done. The Boy Scouts of America were filled with pedophiles. Would you send your kids for that? Would you guys sign them up for that knowing their history? Now, I want to be clear. I was a Boy Scout. I was a Cub Scout. I was a Weebelo. I never had any of that, thankfully. Never had any sexual abuse. My friend's dad across the street was one of the scout troop leaders. So, I never had any of that, thankfully. So I don't have any of that personal experience, thank God. But tens of thousands of young boys did. I mean, at ages 11, younger than that, by pedophiles. Now they want to push gender ideology on your kids. Who's the genius that came up with this idea at the Boy Scouts? Here's the first Boy Scout pedophile to go to prison for the next 20 to 30 years for sexually abusing 13-year-old boys. He also had his way with an 11-year-old boy. He looks like a good scout leader, doesn't he? Mark Chapman. Had his way with a bunch of boys as a scout leader in Michigan. He was the first to fall after these sexual abuse claims started coming forward. Here, the Supreme Court allowed then the $2.4 billion Boy Scout sex abuse deal to go forward after they were in dealing with this like an emergency request by a group of victims to kind of pause the deal. Anyway, it's going forward. The Boy Scouts of America have since enacted a number of protocols, they say, to act as barriers to abuse. The protocols include mandatory youth protection training for volunteers and employees. A screening process that includes criminal background checks for new adult leaders and staff, and a policy requiring at least two youth protection trained adults to be present with youth at all times during scouting activities. And the policy also now bans one-on-one situations where adults would have any interaction alone with children. But that, and this is their website. Here are some of their safety. So they put this right now front and center on their website, the Scouts, Boy Scouts of America. Safety is our top priority. We will not compromise the safety of our youth, the volunteers and employees. Safety is a value that must be taught and reinforced at every opportunity. We are all responsible and must hold each other accountable to provide a safe environment for all participants. But now, diversity. The BSA, the Boy Scouts of America, promotes a culture where youth, volunteers, and employees feel a sense of belonging. Whether every person feels respected and valued, we welcome families of all backgrounds to help prepare young people to serve as successful members and leaders of our nation's diverse community. They plan to kind of roll this new name out, by the way. The new name will be Scouting America, so no more boys and Boy Scouts, and it will roll out by February of 2025, although Roger Krone, the CEO, says we're going to start using it immediately internally. We already have. Now, in the 1970s, interestingly, they had about 5 million members. It plummeted to its lowest. Now, it's about a million or even less than a million right now. And you have to wonder why, right? Because, well, one reason, the National Organization of Women had urged the Boy Scouts to open up membership to girls throughout its ranks. Bear Atwood, the vice president of NOW, said the name change signals that not only are girls allowed to join, but they are welcome to join. So they're very low numbers. They've been battling massive lawsuits. They've then filed bankruptcy because they can't afford to pay this massive settlement. So Now they're dealing with this bankruptcy. Hundreds of lawsuits. They've been named in at least 275 lawsuits. And last year, a federal judge upheld that $2.4 billion bankruptcy plan to allow them to try to pay these out. So victims have now started getting compensation and being paid out. But can you ever really, is money ever going to help you through? Like, you're an 11-year-old that was sexually abused by a scout leader. Is it really ever going to help you? I don't know. But the Girl Scouts of the United States, a totally separate organization from the Boy Scouts, they took total issue with this. They've been slamming the Boy Scouts for opening up its doors to girls. And they filed a lawsuit against the Boy Scouts of America, saying it basically created marketplace confusion. Because you're like, wait a second, I'm a girl, but I can join the Boy Scouts? But what about the Girl Scouts? The Girl Scouts, which don't allow boys, like, it's such a, it's absolute madness right now.
Right.
So this, I think this organization has systemic problems. Pushing gender ideology on children, I think is taking this perversion to a new level. And they have massive amounts of problems already systemically within the ranks with pedophilia, of course, and sexual abuse. Now you're going to add this other layer of perversion, which, you know,
well,
get
because
your opinion
a trans boy is a young girl.
Right.
So they're saying, yes, we have pedophiles, but send us your girls anyway.
Yeah.
And they can change here in front of the boys.
Yeah. Just, and by the way, when you go on these camping trips or whatever, you're going to be sleeping in tents. So if you're saying that everyone is welcome, we're all about diversity, we will not look at you as a different person. So if you're a trans boy, yes, you're a biological girl. We're not going to think of it any differently. We're just going to allow you to sleep in a boy's tent. We're going to allow you to just go into the locker room or the campsite bathroom with the boys. Really? Like, this is your answer to your low numbers and rank right now of individuals right. signing up for the Boy Scouts?
Well, the one piece of this, though, that I'm surprised you kind of didn't touch on is the thing that women have been saying is that we have single-sex bases in order to bond within our gender because we have common group identity.
Well, I was going to get there.
And now you're saying we don't have the right to this space to talk about our periods and braid each other's hair and whatever it is we do. It's none of your business. We have the right to do it without a boy around. So they're now taking that away from boys too. And this is something that I thought a lot about when my son, the school told us they were going to do sex education and separate the kids by gender. Because I said, gender better mean sex because my son has the right to learn about his reproductive system with only boys in the room. They should not have to mute themselves because a girl is there.
Right.
And so I don't know what it means to boys to have only boys groups, but I'm sure that's a lot.
Well, let me tell you, and I was going to get there. Yeah, I mean, so I would go on camping trips in the Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts and Weebelows with my friends who were in my troop. And they were not, these kids were not necessarily, you know, they weren't in my neighborhood. Some of them were. So it was like a great bringing together of kids that I might not have otherwise hung out with, you know? Yeah. And it's bonding experience. You go away for the weekend and there's a group of dads and you go fishing. You're out on a boat. I remember going like in this one, you know, this one lake and we were, you know, digging for clams. And then we made a campfire that night. All of that stuff. You know, all of that stuff where you learn camping skills and survival mm-hmm. skills, and it's a bonding experience. My dad was there. It was great to be able to bond with your dad, other dads, and other boys. And you're taking that away from these young boys by saying that, you know, we're going to allow transgender boys and girls into this group now, and you're changing that entire dynamic.
There's literally a Tim McGraw song about don't take the girl. Like, we want to go fishing without girls. That's what boys, it's a base, like, young boys want to run and play. They don't want a girl around. Let them. Why can't they have?
Well, the Girl Scouts can have it. The Girl Scouts have their.
Right.
The Brownies, the Girl Scouts, they have their environment, right?
Yeah.
So why? And it's just unbelievable to me that the Women's Group of America, what the hell was the name of the National Organization for Women, was urging the Boy Scouts to open up membership to girls.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
You have the girl. Don't you have anything else? This is for boys. Anyway, I just think this ship has sailed now. I mean, I don't know who would sign their kids up for this. I would be hard pressed as a father. I mean, I would absolutely want to make sure I'd be running background checks on the dads, the scout leaders who are doing this. They're going to go away with my boys, you know, our kids for the weekend, some camping trip somewhere.
Right.
With this long history of sexual abuse and pedophilia now in the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time you shut your door. Shut them down.
Yeah. Let's start.
114 years. You had a long run.
You ended it. You went down in a blaze of glory, a blaze of pedophilia. Anyway, let me know your comments in the let me know your thoughts on this in the comments below.
All right. Well, we have more news to get to. We are going to get to the Stormy Daniels testimony and the Trump trial, what it means for Trump, the election, and all of us. But first, we want to talk to you about possibly de-Googling your life with our friends over at Privacy Academy, because you know that your devices listen to you and it gets quite spooky, you know, beyond just like the microphones in your connected devices or your phone or whatever it is. Have you ever had times before where you even think something and an ad yes. comes up and you're like, how did that happen? I didn't speak it out loud.
But you and
to
I were
anybody.
You and I were talking about a potential vacation. We were just chatting like in your office. Mm-hmm. Right. And then all of a sudden there was ads served up to you like that later that afternoon for the place, the specific location we were talking about.
Right. But beyond just that, right, like your own thoughts, that happens to me all the time where I think something and the ad comes up. So it's a little too much. Well, we know the CIA and the NSA predicted that people who shared interests and beliefs online would move in predictable patterns and that they track us. Ever heard of someone called Edward Snowden? We know this. It's scary and it's overwhelming. That's why you can look into de-Googling your life. That's not easy to say. To talk about, you know, how to take this intrusion out of your life little by little. So you can learn how at privacyacademy.com/redacted. You can get an ebook completely free to think about and learn about these little ways that you can slowly pull yourself out of the matrix. So we recommend you get this book. Go to privacyacademy.com/redacted because everyone should make themselves less of a slave to technology, especially the companies that were started by the CIA and the NSA. Maybe use them a little bit less and take your online privacy more seriously. So again, head on over to privacyacademy.com/redacted. The Stormy Daniels trial, we've got to discuss it whether we want to or not, because a former president is on trial and possibly a future president too. Is this going to take him down, out of the race, bankrupt? Is it going to turn the voters against him? Is there really a case here? Well, we have Lionel Media here to discuss. Lionel Nation is his great YouTube channel. He is a former prosecutor, so he knows that which he speaks. Now, let's start here. Trump's lawyers opposed Stormy Daniels' testimony to begin with, and then the judge said, well, we have a witness who has credibility issues, so we're going to let her testify.
Yeah.
That defies right. all logic. So then she proceeds to give R-rated details, such as the position and who was in what undergarments. So can you give me your legal opinion of this? Was the Stormy Daniels the steamer that we expected? And does it have merit?
Steamer? That was, yeah. It fogged up the mirror, that's for sure.
Yes.
Let's go back to some rudiment. I'm not going to bore you with a lot of legal stuff, but I think people kind of like this. You know, we just celebrated the, we talked about O.J. Simpson, and people then showed me that people can really handle this. The rule is very simply this. In 2017, it was alleged that Donald Trump committed a business records fraud. Mm-hmm. By basically, and this, I'm not trying to bore you, but this is what the case is about.
Yes.
When he gave the money to Michael Cohen to give to Stormy Daniels or Dusty Saddles or whatever the hell her name is this week, when he gave him the money, was that legal fees or was that reimbursement? That's it. That's yeah. the case. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's it. Now, the first argument is that that's BS, it's nonsense, it's a waste of time, and that is in no way even a crime, much less worth the court's time. Okay. The next issue is, and you have to ask this Judge Mershon, what is the relevance, the admissibility of Stormy Daniels? Now, a little bit of background in this. 2017 was when this happened. 2016 was this agreement. 2011 was this, she claims also, she was threatened. Now that came out, and the jurors might be thinking, wait a minute, threatened? Trump did that. if the judge let this in, there must be something to this. That's the reason. That's what you worry about. And then in 2006 is when this happened at a hotel. 2006, 5 years later, she's threatened after this. What does a 2006 hotel tryst have to do with a 2017 entry regarding a business? And let me ask you this. I'm not trying to be hyper moralistic, but she is a prostitute. Look, I'm sorry. I know we're all adults. She basically had sex with people for money. Mm-hmm. What do you call that? She's not an actress. She's a prostitute. She is a prostitute, a slattern, a meretrix, whatever you want to call it. Did anybody ever think about giving her the Fifth Amendment by saying, Miss Daniels, you do realize that you're admitting to a crime, right? You do. Prostitution is illegal in New York. I'm sorry. You can call it performance art or whatever. So this woman who comes in there, and she is, by virtue of who she is, she has, since the time she was a child, she has basically lied and used sex as a means to make a living, to distort. Now, this is what the jury of 7 men and 5 women are going to be listening to. And everybody knows who she is. I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, no. Go ahead, please.
No. So the question is, the judge has to ask the question. Under this rule, in federal rules, we call it 403, the judge has to say, if probative evidence, evidence that is relevant, admissible, if the probative value is outweighed by its tendency to confuse and mislead and prejudice, the judge has got to say, listen, we got to keep this out. Mm-hmm. Because very frankly, Judge Mershon, does this have to do with whether an NDA was signed, whether it was misallocated or misdescribed as a reimbursement versus a legal fee? What does this tryst, what does a sexual liaison in 2006, which is not necessarily the reason for this?
Yes, right.
Because, you know, when you sign recently, there was an ABC News exec who was basically bounced. I guarantee you, when she left and got her severance, she signed a non-disparagement. Stormy Daniels signed an NDA as well. And by the way, let's make sure we do this. It's not called hush money. It's that's a street version of this. It's called a non-disclosure agreement. It's done all the time, completely legal. If after we get done with this incredibly fascinating and scintillating interview, you say to me, listen, would you do me a favor? Yeah, don't ever tell anybody I spoke with you. And here's $10. And I say, okay, mm-hmm. That's legal anywhere. Oh. It's done all the time. It's done in settlements. It's done. So as you know, the leftist media, who by themselves, by the way, use this as well. CNN, when Don Lemon was bounced, there was an NDA. Go down the list. Okay. So the question is, what is the purpose of this? What is the purpose of her doing this? Now, the question that we have to ask is two things. What effect does this have on the jury?
Yes.
She's also made, I'm sorry to say this, but mushroom references to genitalia. How does that, I don't think that came out here, because I think one of the stipulations, thankfully.
No, I believe that was on 60 Minutes. Yes.
Yeah. But this has become a part of her act. And if you know who she is, how do men deal with that? By the way, it's number one. And number two, when you see a woman who goes, and I'm sorry to say this, but you have to ask this, when a woman goes to a man's hotel room, there was no allegation of sexual battery or rape. This was consensual sex. When she went there and then later on.
But her story changed during this very testimony because she even said, oh, yeah, I felt drugged. And the lawyer said, wait a minute, are you saying that you were drugged? And she's like, no, but it was a power imbalance that left me feeling drugged. That's a new one. So if you've listened to what she said over the last 15 years, she's denied having sex. She said she had sex. She said she always gets a condom, but she didn't get a condom. She said that she felt drugged, but she wasn't drugged. She said that, she felt coerced, but she did it of her own free will. So again, that speaks to the judge saying she had credibility issues. One of the things the judge said, which I do want to ask you about, is I do think he says after her testimony, well, there were things there that were better left unsaid. The fact that the judge says this, but he allowed it to be said, makes me think that he's opening the door for either a mistrial or an appeal.
Well, a couple of things too, or a tainted jury, or there's an expression we have in trial law, you can't unring the bell. I love these cautionary instructions. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, please disregard. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. The problem is, what he did was, he has his cake and eats it too. He says, now listen, you.
Yeah.
Listen, you, Natalie, don't
we
you
shouldn't
bring up
be
this
doing
stuff.
This.
You know, how dare you bringing up this sexual stuff and the thing with the, and the fact that he uses Old Spice and his deodorant and a golden tweezers. What is, so he admonishes them after he lets it in. Now, normally before this, there is a motion called a motion in limine, which means a motion to limit. And most judges would have said, excuse me, you're not going to talk about this. You're not going to talk about him or Ivanka or his sex life or whether he and Melania sleep. No, nobody. This is a documents case. This is a documents case. Now, if there was some type of, remember, if it was relevant, and it's not, because you might say, well, what about the fact that he says he didn't have sex with her and she said he did? So what? They signed the agreement. Doesn't matter why you signed it. It doesn't matter. If he said, I never signed a non-disclosure, that's not my signature, we didn't do this, I didn't allocate or misdenote this as something else, fine, that's okay. But what does this have to do with them having sex? It was meant to embarrass him. It was meant to sully, to hurt. You have Democratic operatives, you have the People's Republic of Manhattan, you've got everybody, you've got a case where the prior DA Cy Vance says, I'm not going to touch this. You've got the federal government that said, I'm not going to touch this. You've got the elections committee that says, I'm not going to touch this. You had Alvin Bragg initially say, I'm not going to touch this. And then they said, you sure about that? Oh, you know what, now we might do it. Because I was surprised, and I'm not saying this, but I wouldn't be surprised if I said, whoever gives me the scalp of Donald Trump, can you say federal judgeship?
Yes.
Governor, can you, do you want to be the first person? I was the man who sentenced, the jury convicted, but I sentenced Donald Trump to jail, to Rikers. And Donald Trump is saying, do it. Tell me you're that stupid. Mm-hmm. Tell me you're that stupid. Tell me. My numbers, I can go a little higher. Please. Please. Speaking my mind. Meanwhile, Michael Cohen, he's okay. Stormy Daniels can speak. Everybody can speak. Did you see Michael Cohen's recent TikTok? Whatever this thing, I don't even know what the hell this thing was. This is a joke. And for them to show you how desperate they are, Natalie, they brought in this Colangelo, this this DOJ big shot from the Department of Justice to come down to New York State to try this rinky-dink documents case that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And he's, remember what they're doing. They're saying, and this doesn't, because you have to read the actual indictment, they're saying that on 34 counts, 34, why is that important? Well, you might have one jury that says, okay, I gave him a break. I only found you guilty of 17 counts. And mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. It's one basic transaction, one set of circumstances. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to say that this was done fraudulently. There was a conspiracy because she was being paid and not to keep her quiet, to prevent her from embarrassing him and hurting his marriage, but this was actually maybe an in-kind election,
right. I want to ask this about that transaction, actually, yes. Because it's about the exchange of money that prevented the American people from knowing about this before the election. So the money bit is what they're hinging it on, because I always ask myself, and I see this conversation on Twitter, is that why it's different from the American people being kept from knowing about Hunter Biden's laptop?
Right. There's no. The chutzpah, the elephantine, that these people have, to do this with a straight face. Hunter
Biden.
So
are you saying they're not that they're the same? The American people were kept from this story. Someone did Joe Biden a favor. Who did that?
No. What they're keeping the American public from is a crime. It is a crime what Hunter Biden did. It was a crime for him to sell finger paintings and basically have folks buy these works of art. It was a crime for him to conspire with China. It was a crime for him to appear on the barista board under this supposed expertise. It was a crime for him to funnel money to the big guy. That's a crime. What they're saying, what Trump did was, I elected not to tell you something. He elects not to tell you the true story of his hair, or whether he dyes his hair, or problems he's had with Melania. That's not key. That is a fact that a candidate elects not to tell you. That is not the concealment of a crime. That is not the conspiracy to keep a federal crime or a series of crimes from the American people. That's a different story. He was electing what information to go out. This is ridiculous. So but what I'm telling you is, and you've hit on it exactly, it's specious. Nobody's buying this. But let's get down to the brass tacks here. They're going to find him guilty.
You think?
They're going to find him guilty. They're going to find him guilty of one charge, two. But here's what I'm hoping for. Number one. One juror, one who says, you took me away from my family and my home for this piece of garbage. I never even liked Trump. I hope they're going to say, in my ideal world, I don't even like Trump. But what you did to me, and you put this slattern, this meretrix, this shrew, this harlot. How dare you? This is absurd. I'm disgusted by. You don't know what they're going to say. That's number one. The next problem is.
But wait, can you play that out? If that juror says this, then what? It's a hung jury. Then
not guilty. Say hung jury. Do it again. Yeah, but 34 counts. I said not guilty. None of them. 34 counts. I don't believe it was. Because, and you can sit there and say, excuse me, here, let's have the indictment blown up. Let's read through this. Tell me, and I believe me, if I read you the indictment, you would be asleep so fast.
Right.
You would say, what is this even about? It has nothing to do. And let me explain something also. A lot of folks, there's a lot of things that we can kind of, let's face it, Natalie, we can say, well, you know, Trump with the documents case, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe.
We've discussed this. Yeah, or the Georgia case.
January 6th, well, that's not really sedition. However, the Georgia case, Fannie and Wade, well, but this one, there's nothing there. When I tell you this, and you're going to ask yourself, but how in the name of God does Judge Mershon allow this? How did this get passed a motion to dismiss? I don't know. And we don't want to say he's corrupt because they say, well, his daughter is an operative in the. Okay, listen, every judge there is there for, was in essence a political appointee. We all know this. They do this all the time, but Gorsuch was appointed by Trump. So you can play this all day long. This is a travesty. Nobody can believe this. Why are everything will be okay until you put on Stormy Daniels? Until you did this, you could say, look, it's a crazy case. It's a bit far-fetched. Convoluted. We can kind of sort of see it. But what? And when she starts laughing about it, and you could say, is this woman a victim? And God forbid, I don't know if they did this during the voir dire, but let's say you have a woman or a man who has had somebody in their family who's been the victim of sexual violence, somebody who knows what it's like, who hears these laughing asides, these kind of drive-by intimations that somehow she was the victim of something. This woman, who was a professional prostitute on film, Let me just explain this to you. She's saying to you, this little Rebecca of Sunnybrook, this, you know, pure as a driven snow, is what was somehow who went. And by the way, this is a little similar, though dissimilar, to Harvey Weinstein. When those women went, they said they received untoward, unwelcome, uninvited, whatever. Mm-hmm. There was nothing uninvited. She went to his, she said, okay, this is weird. All right.
Right.
And the way she showed, she lifted her leg and he was like this. And I'm thinking, what is your testimony?
Right. What she is, doesn't make a good victim. And in fact, even CNN recently was covering this and said she's being jokey. And that doesn't seem to be landing with the jury, who finds that distasteful.
But she's not a victim.
Right.
She's a sexual something.
She's a linchpin, I guess we would call.
She is theoretically the reason. Let me tell you something. Trump cannot possibly testify. Cannot. Because he'll blow it up. They're going to bring up everything else about Andrew and Garon. Oh, and E. Jean Carroll. Oh, God, no. But if in a perfect world, he could, if he could testify, and he said, let me tell you why I signed this. I don't want anybody to find out, you're right, that I was so stupid that I even dared to sully my reputation by being with this skank, this horse-faced Mr. Ed over here for 5 seconds. I'm embarrassed by it. I mean, I've done some pretty low stuff, but look at her.
Yeah,
look at
that's
her.
What he would say.
I mean, you know, and of course, she would just remember what she said. That drove her crazy. She called me horse face, and I hate him. And she said something to the effect of, "I'm not that orange turd, isn't good," or something. I mean,
let's talk about why she said that, because she owes him $500,000 in a defamation case. And she said yesterday she would never pay this orange person. She'd rather go to jail. So she has a vested interest in this case, putting him in jail so that maybe she doesn't have to pay him. Is that?
Or that. And by the way, this is the only guy, talk about art of the deal, that they introduced somehow. He wrote in, 1987. This is the guy who goes to a hooker. She ends up paying him $300,000. That's a good deal. This guy knows what he's doing. Obviously, but in this one here, anytime I show bias, anytime I show that you're testifying, see, the beautiful part about cross-examination, a little bit of background, direct examination is when I interview my witness and I ask my witness who, what, when, where, why, where are you from? And the reason why I can't ask leading questions is because why would I be able to do this? This is my witness. Leading questions are that special little thing that we give a lawyer on cross-examination, where he gets to interview, where he gets to question the opposing side's witness. And leading questions, by the way, are designed to get to the heart of it. And what I would have loved is had to have somebody almost like a, you know, the great serial killer profiler John Douglas years ago offered advice to the prosecutor who was questioning Wayne Williams in the Atlanta murders. And he said, this is what'll make him mad. This is what. So I would have loved to have Nicholas, the prosecutor. By the way, thank God Alina Haba's out. Thank God that this Margot Martin and these babes, get them out of here. Let's have real lawyers. But if she would have walked up, taken her time, and there's Stormy Daniels, it started with something like, well, Stormy Daniels. That's not your name, is it? Your name is Stephanie, right? Stephanie Clifford, yeah. Stormy Daniels, your big day. Big day. You hate him, don't you? He called you horse face. Didn't he? If you're not going to ask a leading question, I don't want to even be there.
Right.
This is your time to get back at him, isn't it?
But we have a whole other day nuts. Of that tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
She's going to go Thursday. Back. Right. So we will get more of that, and we'll see if they do, in fact, do that. So we're going to leave it there because there's just, that's all we have time for today. Oh. And there was so much. It's just,
it's not even close.
Right. Well, I mean, if anybody was wondering if this was for the purpose of political mudslinging, we can wonder no more. And also, I'm just going to leave it with this, is that it worries me that if inadmissible evidence can be thrown in like this for somebody's trial, what do the rest of us have a right to a free trial? And so
I'm
going to
throw this one in there. I mentioned Harvey Weinstein. Look, you may not like him. They railroaded him. Why are they bringing up old cases with other women that were never charged? It's called a Molyneux hearing, where you bring a prior. Can we please stay with this? Imagine you going for a speeding ticket there. Ms. Morris, in 1978, did you steal something? Did you steal a cookie from Starbucks with your mother?
Oh, you remember.
Remember that?
Yes.
Isn't that did you bring, and you're going to say, wait a minute, what? So that's you're that same person, that cookie thief. So you're going to say, what the hell does this have to do with this? Well, that's the point.
Right.
What does it have to do? Because it shows a propensity. Well, if she did that then, if he lied then. Now, sometimes, not to go into detail, you can use it to prove ID and MO and all that stuff. But this is, they don't even care. They want to bury him. They want to put his, like a Kathy Griffin, they want to put his scalp on their wall. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with law and order. And it goes to show you how vile and putrescent and corrupt this system is. And this is why people hate the system. They hate everything. This is the same group that tells you you can't even complain about an election that you thought was stolen. You can't even, anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's where we have to leave it today. Thank you so much for this. This was, like I said, I'm going to go run a lap after this. I invite everybody else too, because I need to get this energy out. We've been talking to Lionel from Lionel Nation, his great YouTube channel. Check it out. Thank you again for coming on Redacted.
And thank you.
That's going to do it for us here on Redacted. Now I release you to go do some jumping jacks or punch the air with weights, whatever it is you need to do about that segment. Wow, phew. Okay, there will be more tomorrow as well. Thanks for sticking with us. Thank you for being here for Redacted. Also, if you'd like to show your love to Redacted by buying some merchandise, you can head on over to redactedstore.com. Check out some t-shirts, some hoodies, maybe a mug or something like that to show that you really appreciate non-corporate media. You like Redacted, tell your friends about it. Again, it's redactedstore.com. Thanks so much for being here, everyone. Have a great night.